just wow for all of it. Wow for the music, Matt, wherever you are. Wow. He is an anointed musician, and I really appreciate every time he sings for us, right? Thank you, Matt, for the music tonight.
Amen.
I really appreciate that. You know, the purpose of the music is so that we would sing together and there would be unity in the body, that we would then worship God in the Word of God with the preaching. That's the purpose of the purpose of the music, is to bring us to the pastor who gives us the Word of God, and that's where we worship. We worship at the Word of God. The actual worship leader is the pastor. So thank you, Matt. And wow for that message, the offering devotional to utterly destroy everything. We see that also with the Amalekites, destroy everything. And the first time they did it in Jericho, but then they didn't really do it in the Amalekites in 1 Samuel. So there's a lot of thoughts going through my head, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will use this time and for His glory, right, for God's glory. Just to give a little bit of a what's going on with us, in about 3.5, in about 4 weeks, we leave. We fly out of JFK to go to Albania. I'm finishing up things at work, and the time is getting short here. This is the last time I'll probably, I think I have announcements this week and I have Sunday offering, but this is the last time I get to preach in this pulpit for at least a while, who knows when. So maybe, yeah. And so we'll see, and we're excited to see what God will do in this time. And tonight I think we're going to go through some exposition. I kind of want to talk about this before we pray and get into it. We're going to take a portion of scripture, then pick it apart, expository, and see what God does. I trust the Holy Spirit for this. Hopefully, I think it'll actually go along the lines of what Remo brought out in the introduction. So let's stand and open the word together if we can. It's the word of God, right? The word of God. Some Bibles, I mean, mine... Yeah, mine doesn't say it, but a lot of Bibles say Holy Bible on it. You know, you have that word holy, and that word holy gets thrown around a lot, right? That four-letter word gets thrown around a lot, but to have it holy in our heart, where it is set apart in our heart, and we know the Word of God. Open up to Ephesians chapter 5, please. We'll read the Word, then we'll pray. We're going to read a bunch of verses. We're going to read the first 16 verses of this chapter. So... can't help but notice Josh isn't standing up, but it's all right. No, please don't. I was joking. Please do not at this point. No, I'm joking. It's awesome that Josh is here, brother and friend. In chapter 5, verse 1, I'm reading out of the New American Standard. It says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you, as it is proper among the saints. And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral or impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness and righteousness and truth, trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Do not participate in the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of these things which are done by them in secret. But all things become visible when they are exposed by the light. For everything that becomes visible is light. For this reason it says, awake, sleeper, and arise from dead, and Christ will shine upon you. Therefore be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time, because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Father, we come before you and we look to you, Lord. We are here for you to hear your word. I'm here to hear your word, Lord. I ask that you use it, Lord, that you speak to us, Lord. And the night's anointed, we know it. And we know that you are here, Father. And we are here to learn of you. And I just ask that you would rightly divide these words, that they would be from your throne, that the Holy Spirit would move, that the Holy Spirit would convict, reprove, exhort, love, and mold us into the image of Christ through your word. Bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. All right. So kind of want to pick this portion apart, not going in order of the portion, but actually starting at the end. At the end, he says, the last two verses there that we read in verse 16, 16 and 17, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And in this portion, he talks about light versus darkness, sin, exposing sin versus like walking in the light and walking in the Lord, to awake from your sleep. And that speaks of awaking out of your sin. And he goes through these things. And he talks about the wrath of God coming on sin. That's the big W word. This is a New Testament portion. But we have the big W word in here, the wrath of God, which if we study it out and understand it, it's really a beautiful thing when we know the wrath, when we see the wrath of God in the word of God, and then we see the love of God and the mercy of God and the grace of God. When we take all the attributes of God and we see them, all 29, I believe there are, and he's 100% of all of them, and we see it, then the wrath of God becomes beautiful. It's hard to say, but it does. It's terrifying and beautifully terrifying, I think, would be the right way to see, just like, wow, like this is the holiness, the holy wrath of God. And he mentions it here. And then at the end, he says, make most of your time. In the King James, it says redeeming the time, right? Redeeming the time, for the days are evil. To redeem the time, redeem our time. The word redeem here means to purchase, but it goes a little bit beyond that, and it means to ransom or rescue from a loss. Like when that our time here on this earth, and we know the time is short, you know, Jesus could come back tomorrow, but even if he waits 500 years, the time is still short. We still have a very limited time, and the time that we have, evil is waiting at the door to take it over for us, idle time, things that we could be, that we are doing. And here in this portion, it says, redeem that time, because if you don't, it will be lost. If you don't redeem the time, it will be gone. You won't be able to get this back. And he says, redeem the time by knowing, by understand. So then do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Redeem the time, understand the will of God. We talk a lot about the will of God. What's the will of God for my life? What should I eat for lunch, right? And we sometimes say that. Sometimes we hyper-spiritualize things, and we say, okay, what is the will of God for my lunch break, for things? But the will of God, I'm actually going to tell you what the will of God is for your life, and the Bible's going to tell you, not me. Like, anything you hear from this pulpit, look at the word of God for verification. No matter who it is, just look at the word of God. Turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, please. First Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3. What is the will of God for our life? I thought I was missing a page, but it wasn't. Second Thessalonians. I'm like, wait a minute, that doesn't make any sense. It's not there. For this is the will of God. Right? This is Paul speaking. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. This is the will of God, your sanctification. And the word your sanctification here is human hagiosmos. If you want to write it down, you can, it doesn't matter. Human hagiosmos. The only time that this Greek, these two words are together are in the Bible and by church fathers. The Greeks never used this. So when he's saying this to the Thessalonians, because the pagans didn't demand holiness. or sanctification. The pagans didn't say be sanctified. The pagans didn't care. And here he's talking about fornication and different things. And he's saying the will of God for your life is your sanctification, that you would actually have a life that's not according to the world, that your life would look a little bit different, that it wouldn't go what the world does. A lot of the times these Gentile churches were deeply involved in idol worship and temple prostitutes and all that stuff. The Corinthian church, Thessalonian church, they were deeply involved in this stuff. And he's saying, be sanctified. This is the will of God for your life, that you would be sanctified. That it, you know, wouldn't just go, and the pagans, they would go to the temple, do their thing, but then they would have immorality, have an immoral lifestyle. He's saying, no, that's not for you. The will of God for your life is to be sanctified. The will of God goes beyond what our life is. A lot of times we want to have the will of God revolve around the life that our life that's the center of our lives. And we have, okay, what's my career? What's my retirement plan? My 401k looks pretty good. And we have this stuff and we say, okay, what's the will of God as long as it conforms into my little bubble? And we have this. But the will of God goes beyond that. That my life, first and foremost, would be, Lord, okay, how can I be conformed to the image of Christ? How am I looking at God? How am I going through my life, first and foremost, is to love the Lord, and then he takes care of the stuff. And then I just live in that love, and I walk in that love. Redeem the time. We should redeem the time. We should be sanctified. And we are sanctified. And here in this portion in Ephesians chapter 5, actually goes through a few different bullets, and I'm going to touch on a few of them. And to kind of go back to the first verse is walk in love. We are sanctified by walking in love. And what this means, and if you look at the context, it's not saying, you know, what is the first love, right? The first love, that Jesus loves us, that the Lord loves us. That's the first love in 1 John 4:19. Not that we loved God, but that God loves us. And this is what he's saying here. And walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for you. To walk in this love. Walking in love, this love, what it's talking about is walking in love to God, not to each other. So when the first love comes from God, our response is to him alone. He gets the love. He gets the glory. He is God. Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And Jesus mentioned it in Matthew 22, and also to the rich young ruler. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Everything. Once we get that right, then I love my brother. Then I love my sister. Once I really love God. And Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will follow me. If you love me, and it's not like I have to prove my love to God. It's that if I love him, this will be the fruit of that. It will show that this will happen, that I will be following my master, that I will be following my Lord, that I will begin to be sanctified because I'm following him. And this is the love of God. If you love me, keep my commandments. 1 John 5:3, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. We see John repeating this. Love the Lord. Love the Lord. And we say, yes. Yes, I love the Lord, but do we? Like, you know, like, Dennis, do I love the Lord with all my heart, mind, soul, and strength? Do I love him with everything? Where he is the focus of my life, where I don't want the stuff, where I don't, and I think of it kind of in a relation. I've used this metaphor, I don't think from here, but in a Bible study setting before. Like, I love my wife, right? I love my, I mean, who wouldn't? I mean, she's a special kind of person. I love my wife. I love her. If I tomorrow got up, hopped on a plane, moved out to California, never contacted her, didn't see her, didn't write to her, and somebody asked me, oh, you're married. Oh, yes, I love my wife. Wait, but what do you mean you love your wife? You just moved out to the other side of the country. Your life doesn't show that you love your wife. And like, so we kind of say, yes, I love God. I sing songs to him, but do we love God? Do we love him with all of my heart, mind, soul, and strength? And this isn't a salvation. This isn't for salvation. This isn't legalistic. You have to do this to be saved. This is just basic love. This is agape love. Do I love God? Do I respond to his love with a love that says, you are everything to me? I will die for you. I will give my life. And that's what agape love is. It's self-sacrificial love that God thought it not, Jesus thought it not robbery to be equal with God, came as a man, died for our sins, said, I love them so much, I will die for them. And I love them with this love. And just as he loves us with this love, he says, love me back. Love me back that way. Don't give me lip service. And what did he say in the book of Isaiah? You honor me with your words, but your heart is far from me. Love the Lord. Be sanctified. Get in the word of God. We love the word by love the Lord by keeping his commandments, by looking at the word and saying, I will love the Bible. Jesus is called the word of God in Revelation chapter 19. Right now, his title in heaven is the word of God. I will love this word. It will be my life. I will walk in love. And there's Remo preached an amazing message months ago on minding the gap, seeing that if there's a gap in our life, seeing it and minding it and like being able to recognize it. You know, there's a gap in my life in this area in loving God, because I mean, it's all my heart, mind, soul, and strength. There's no way. It's impossible. But by the grace of God, I will. By the grace of God, he gives me the grace for it. He gives me the desire for it. He gives me the mercy for it. And he says, just walk in it. And this is what Paul is saying, walk, let this be your lifestyle. When you see the word walk, we also see it in Ephesians 4:1, where he says, walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. It means our lifestyle. The word walk means our lifestyle. He says, let your lifestyle be one of love. And if we truly love God, I will love every single person on this earth. It will happen. And it won't be sentimentality. A lot of times if we put it opposite and we say, okay, love others and then love God, it turns into sentimentality. Then I like you. I love you because I like you. And it turns into this weird sentimental stuff, but it's not based on truth. It's not based on holiness. It's not based on the word of God. It's just kind of, it's emotional. Love God. That'll happen. Love God. It'll happen. And if you don't love your brother, it shows that you're not really loving God. It all comes back around together, if that makes sense. That makes sense, right? Awesome. To walk in love in Ephesians 5:1. To walk in love. We see the church at Ephesus. So here he's saying, to the church at Ephesus, walk in love. A few years later, Jesus says, write to the church of Ephesus. Remember what he wrote? You have left your first love. You've left it. You're going through the motions. You're doing the stuff. You're talking real nice. You've left your first love. Paul wrote it, walk in love, and they left it by, like, I don't know, 90 AD, so however many years that was from the writing of the church of this letter to the Ephesians. They left their first love, and the answer to that was repent. Just turn back. Stop thinking that way. Go back to love. Go back to loving the Lord and then operating in that love. Go back to the first love, receiving the love from God and responding right back to it. Go back to that. Otherwise, I will come to you, remove your lampstand, right, unless you repent. So it's a pretty serious charge. And this is, so we think, okay, well, that's the church at Ephesus. That was a founding church on the Bible. If they were so quickly removed, man, we have to hold on so tightly. Hold on to the word of God. Hold on to the love of God. Don't depart from it. If they can do it, I can do it. If they can depart from truth, I can depart from truth. We have to remember that. Take heed lest we fall. We're not better than anybody else. We just grab onto the truth and say, I'm not going to pollute it. I love the Lord. Second bullet I want to mention here is in verse 10. Sorry. Proving what is acceptable to the Lord, right, in the King James. The New American Standard is trying to learn what is pleasing to the Lord. Proving what is acceptable to the Lord. Do we have a lifestyle of proving what is acceptable to the Lord? And then choosing to do that. You know, a lot of times we can say, okay, that we know this is acceptable to the Lord, and we choose to kind of, you know, I'm probably the master of that, right? Knowing what the will of the Lord is and then just kind of taking the detour. You know, it happens. We're sinners. But we are to prove what is acceptable to the Lord. To prove what is acceptable to the Lord. Pay close attention to doctrine, to the Word of God. Don't let it slip. Come. And this is why we're doing an expository kind of teaching here. We learn through this, through expository learning. We're going to be doing a study in 2 Timothy starting next Monday, a five-week study in 2 Timothy, verse by verse. That's like to learn the Word of God that way, to learn the Word of God verse by verse, line upon line, precept upon precept, learning the Word of God, learning it all. Prove what is acceptable to the Lord. Don't play around with doctrine. Don't play around with the Word of God. And we see this all throughout the pastoral epistles, and I've been thinking a lot about it recently. We have the pastoral epistles. We have Titus, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. Paul wrote these epistles at the end of his life. They were like the last three letters that he wrote, and they were the pastoral epistles. And I love looking at them because you can see, okay, what was important to Paul at the end? What did he say? Okay, this is the big stuff. You can't leave this. And we see over and over again him saying doctrine. Pay close attention to the doctrine in 1 Timothy 4:16. Continue in doctrine in 2 Timothy 3:14. We see him talking to these men who are leaders to just stay at it, keep in it, stay in the doctrine, stay in the Word of God. Remember the things that you heard from your mother and grandmother, he said to Timothy. Remember these things because all scripture is profitable. The all scripture that he was talking about was from Genesis, right? From really mostly the law, the Torah, the Tanakh, or the Torah and the law and the prophets. And he was saying, keep them, to take heed to them, to prove what is acceptable unto God. Prove it, and follow it, to keep going towards doctrine. Doctrine is such an amazing thing. And so far, it seems like, it says in 2 Timothy 4, the day will come when people will not endure sound doctrine. And he told Titus, you endure sound doctrine. Teach people to endure sound doctrine. And 2 Timothy said, the time will come when people won't do that anymore. Endure doctrine. Love it. Love the reproof. Love the correction. Love it. Love when the Word of God cuts us deep. It says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, that the Word of God will open us up. And the word picture there is like the priest opening up the animal for a sacrifice. And he's laying aside all these organs and stuff. And he's opening it up. And he's saying the Word of God will open you up and remove things that need to be removed. And it'll be do it with precision. And it'll do it. Let doctrine do that to our souls, that we would follow it and that we would follow hard after it. To prove what is acceptable to the Lord. And lastly, on these bullets, to have a life of, the will of God and sanctification is to walk circumspectly here at the end. Therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise. Be careful. And to not play around with the world. To not play around with the world stuff. You know, and we have freedom. We have freedom to live, but then we have freedom to live in grace. We have freedom to live in Christ. We have freedom, like we heard, to mortify the deeds of the flesh. We have freedom to do that. We can do that. We can do that. We can walk circumspectly, and the word there is akrobos, and it's exactly like an acrobat walking on a tightrope. They need to be careful of every step. And we're supposed to be doing that as believers, as Christians, as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our Lord, who is our standard, who is our all in all. He says, walk circumspectly, walk carefully. He is the Word of God. Walk carefully. Don't walk according to the world. And we have this over and over again. We see it. Love not the world in 1 John 2. We see adulterers and adulteresses. Don't you know that friendship with the world is enmity against God? Therefore, if you are a friend of the Lord, you are an enemy of God in James chapter 4, verse 4. We also have 2 Corinthians 9, where it says, come out from among them and be separate. Be holy, for he is holy in 1 Peter 1. We have these verses. Those are all New Testament verses, remember. So we have these New Testament verses to be careful, to walk in grace. It's the grace of God that teaches us to deny ungodliness. We don't do it in and of ourselves. We don't say, I'm not going to sin. You're going to sin. What we do is we put our focus on things above in Colossians 3, verse 1. We set our affections on things above. We look to the author and finisher of our faith in Hebrews 12:1. We look to him, and then the grace of God teaches us to deny all ungodliness in Titus chapter 2. I think 14, I believe. Titus 2, he teaches us to deny all ungodliness. This is sanctification. That we would live a life that's just, man, where we love God, we prove what is acceptable to him, and we walk circumspectly, and we don't play around with the world. We don't play the world games. We don't, you know, I mean, I remember Pastor Stevens preaching a message saying, I'm just quoting Pastor Stevens, I'm not saying I kind of believe this. I guess I do. Saying the Beatles are from the devil. I remember him preaching that message. And you know what? The entire world system is ruled by the little god Satan. The entire world system. Everything in the world is ruled by him. So we have to be careful. I mean, and honestly, if you look at some of this stuff, it's like, oh yeah, that's obvious. But walk circumspectly. Don't play games with the world. I had a conversation at work the other day, and it was kind of we've had like a lot of really good conversation. It's kind of what led to this message. And there was somebody brought into like the lunchroom, should we have yoga in the church? And we had this one side that was, nope, yoga's Hindu, Eastern mysticism, worshiping devils, bad. This other one said, hey, we have freedom in Christ. We can do what we want. If our heart doesn't condemn us, we're good. And I think both of those were wrong, honestly. I think both of them are wrong. I think the answer is, am I walking circumspectly? Like, one, if anybody, like, you know, if like Rima wants to go out and do some goat yoga, whatever it is, you know, it's a thing. It's crazy. Kind of. And you know what? I don't judge him. He can do what he wants. He's free. He's whatever. He can do it. I don't care. But the problem happens when you bring it into the church. When you bring it into the church and leadership says, hey, this is a fellowship that we're doing, then it's like, maybe we should talk about that a little bit. You know, and so I was kind of like, kind of being the buffer in between the two sides. I'm like, well, it's kind of like, you know, it's who cares if anybody does it? It's on them. They can do what they want. But to walk circumspectly in our hearts, to walk circumspectly. And for me, like, I can't do it. One, I probably literally can't do it. I would end up in the hospital if I try to do yoga. Yeah, if you ever see me doing yoga, call 911. I know some of the things that were going on in the history behind it. I'm like, I'm not going to do that. I know it's worldly stuff. But anybody wants to do it, it's fine. It's on them. But to in Philippians 1:27, he says, let your conversation be as it becomes the gospel of Christ. In the church, you know, Paul said when he preached to the Corinthians, he said, I purpose to know nothing among you save Christ and him crucified. I didn't want you to hear wisdom. I didn't want you to hear knowledge. I wanted you to hear Christ. When we go to the church, when we sit in this setting, when we learn, we want to hear Christ. I want to hear the grace of God. I want to hear the mercy of God. I want to hear the love of God. I want to hear the holiness of God. And I want to hear it. I want to hear holiness. You know, in Isaiah chapter 6, and it's repeated in Revelation, the angels and then the elders cried, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Three times holy. We have to be careful that we remember the holiness of God, that he's holy. When we approach him, he is holy. He is love, but he's 100% holy and 100% love. He's not 99% love and 1% holy. He's 100% of all of his attributes. And it's something really good to remember. God is all of his attributes, and he is still holy, as if the Holy of Holies was still here. He is still holy. But we have access into the holy by grace. We have access by the blood of the Lamb that we can enter into the holiness. But when we enter in, it's still holy. It's still take off our shoes because it's holy ground. So I guess what I want to leave us with is redeem the time. Redeem the time. Leaders, preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season, like Paul said to Timothy. preach the word. Don't preach anything. I don't come to church to hear opinions. I come to church to hear the word. And I'm glad that we have that. You know, that's what we want. That's what we need. We need the word of God. The word of God is sharp. The word of God draws us. The word of God makes us, sanctifies us. In John 17:17, in Jesus' prayer to the Father, he says, Father, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. That's how we're sanctified. We're sanctified by truth. We're sanctified by the word of God and living it and not just playing games. Redeem the time. Don't play games. And pray. Have corporate prayer. Lead people. Disciple people. In the word of God, the days are short. The days are short. And the days are short for all of us. Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? Don't allow. Like, you know, the reason for, like, preaching, the leaders for eldership, you know, the whole reason for eldership is prayer and the word of God in Acts 6:4. That's the whole reason to do it. Minister the word of God. Minister it. Be a teacher. Be apt to teach in 1 Timothy. To have this mindset. Let's not play games anymore. And so here, when it said the will of God for your life, your sanctification, what the pagans were doing is the pagans were doing their temple thing, then going home, living like they wanted. And let's try not to get into the habit of coming to church and our sanctification is our church life. That's not what the Bible's for. The church is for fellowship in doctrine in Acts 2:42, right, in 2:42, 2:46. It's for unity in Christ in Acts chapter 5. We see the unity. But we have our lives, and our lives are the will of God for our lives is sanctification, that we would glorify God. And the music was so good tonight. Wow, glorify God. He's everything. He is all things. And when he is everything and we take the time and we say, how can I live this day for the will of God, which is my sanctification, everything else opens up. And then we love people. Then we forgive people. Then we show mercy. Then we show grace. And I'm over time. And I'm sorry. Kind of. Not really. So let's pray. Father, I thank you. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. That we even have that we can even be sanctified as a work of grace, God, that we can even, wow, your mercy. Lord, sanctify us according to your truth. Sanctify us according to your word. Bring us into a deeper relationship with you in discipleship. Help us to love you, to walk circumspectly, to not as fools but as wise. Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for who you are. Help us to preach the word correctly. Help us to repent daily and to follow you wholeheartedly. In Jesus' name, amen.